STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.
This is Brett Kunkel, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Podcast. Well, we are sitting here in Higher Ground Church in Oakland, California. I am up here in the Bay Area with a team of about 38 students and probably about 10 staff from Upland Christian Academy in Southern California. And we are up here on a Berkeley mission. And this is the fifth year that we've taken Upland Christian Academy on one of these mission trips. We kind of alternate. One year we do the Berkeley trip, and one year we do the Utah trip, and then vice versa. And so I'm actually sitting here with three of the high school students. I'm going to have them introduce themselves. Ma'am,
I'm Taylor.
Introduce yourself.
I'm a senior.
As a senior, how old are you?
18.
You're 18. Okay, Taylor's 18.
Micah, I'm a senior, and I'm also 18.
All right.
I'm Brenda. I'm also a senior, and I'm 17.
Okay. All right, so we got two 18-year-olds and a 17-year-old. All three seniors. Mm-hmm. All three have... is this your first, second time on the Berkeley trip?
Second for me.
Okay.
This is my first.
This is also my first.
Okay. And then, but you guys have also been on the Utah trip.
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. So you haven't been, Taylor's been on two Berkeley trips. Micah, you've been on this Berkeley trip and a Utah trip, and then Brenda.
I'm on the Utah one.
Okay. Berkeley and Utah. Okay. So you're kind of veterans. We actually asked you to do something kind of unique on this Berkeley trip. Tell everyone kind of what you got roped into.
Well, it was about a year ago. Our Bible teacher told us, hi, this year on the Berkeley trip, we're having a debate, and you're going to go up against some atheist college students and defend Christianity. And
you don't have a choice.
Well, it was more like, hey, this is what we're going to do this year. I think you'd be fantastic at it. You should do it. There wasn't a question there. Exactly. I guess we could have said no if we really wanted to, but...
Yeah, but then you would have lost your salvation.
Yeah, probably.
Or at least Mr. Pagel would have claimed it. Okay, so it was kind of your Bible teacher, mm-hmm. Gabe Pagel, who has been at Upland for a number of years now and who we've partnered with each year. And he saw something in you guys, said, hey, I think you guys can be leaders in this. And so he just kind of roped you in and said, I think you'll be good at this. Yeah. Do it. And so the challenge that he threw in front of you was you're going to debate a particular topic with some students, grad students, whoever they were, atheist students up here at Berkeley. Yes. They weren't actually students, but we'll get to that. Well, one was a student. But, okay, so you got roped into this last fall. And, but, of course, Mr. Pagel, being the good guide, the wise mentor he is, he had you prepare for this, right? So he picked a topic. What was the topic?
Morality.
Morality, yeah. and kind
just
of what was the...
grounding of it.
Okay, the grounding of morality. Okay, so we have objective morality. How do we ground this? What's the best explanation? So what did you have to do to get prepared for this?
Many meetings after school.
Okay, so many meetings after school just with you and Mr. Pagel?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sometimes we had some of our speakers who spoke in chapel come and talk with us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One's from SDR, I forget his name. Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay Warner Wallace.
Yeah, he was great.
Sometimes he's forgettable, so.
We also did a couple of meetings during lunch, and we got together on certain weekends at someone's house or someone's like office, and just spent like the entire day going over the arguments for objective morality and answers to objections and how to work tactics and all those types of things.
So you would go, over to Mr. Pagel's house?
We did once.
You go to someone else's house, mm-hmm. but was it once a month? Was it just periodically?
Whenever we were available.
Yeah.
Okay, and you'd spend half the day, the full day?
The majority of the day.
The majority of the day.
A good number of hours.
The last one we did before the Berkeley trip, it started at 9 in the morning, and we didn't leave until 6? 6 in the evening.
So. I had to leave earlier.
Wow. I mean, we break for lunch in the middle of there. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got these regular meetings. You're meeting after class. You're meeting with some of the speakers that you guys had brought in. You're having these kind of half-day, full-day meetings on weekends to prepare. Mm-hmm. Were you reading or watching anything in addition to all this?
We watched Sam Harris and William Craig.
Yeah.
Okay.
We watched them debate on morality, which was very helpful to me, especially. Uh-huh. We read some I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
Okay, so read the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
We read On Guard and Tactics.
Mm-hmm. You read On Guard, okay, mm-hmm. Craig's book. You read Tactics as well. Mm-hmm. You watched the Craig-Harris debate. Did you watch any other debates?
We watched the Craig and Shelley Kagan debate.
Okay, the Craig-Kagan debate.
We also, our Bible teacher, also assigned us a couple of other books to read, aside from the books that he had assigned the rest of the Berkeley kids. So, I had a debate between Paul Kurtz and William Lane Craig to read, and something about the philosophy of religion, and he assigned us all different things to do.
So you were assigned kind of individual readings, so you'd read that kind of comeback report on that to the group. Okay. All right, wow. So you not only had regular training sessions during school, after school, on the weekends, you had required books, you had required watching, viewing of these debates, and then you had additional articles. I mean, this is a lot of preparation that you guys did. Was some of it overwhelming? You felt like you didn't understand it? I mean, talk us through that process of going through all this kind of required training.
At the very beginning, I guess it was the most overwhelming because you just feel like there's so much to learn and so much you have to prepare for. Like, so many ways you have to know that you can say this because it's very clear, and then you can't say this because sometimes then it can lead to, this kind of semantic debate where, you're just disagreeing on the meaning of words, but it doesn't go anywhere. So you just, you're thinking there's so many things you have to keep in mind, but I think as you practiced it more and more, it felt less overwhelming, but we were still really nervous.
Sure.
And then in the home stretch, it was a little bit, I don't want to say it got boring because it was always interesting learning new stuff, but it could get mentally tiring because for the last 2 weeks, we were told that instead of watching TV, watch debates or read, read materials or that sort of thing. So giving up all the TV time that you would normally have to study this debate from morality, it can be a little bit draining mentally.
Yeah, okay. So, wow, the expectations that were put on you were pretty heavy. I mean, that's heavy duty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it sounds like you guys stepped up to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like having expectations like that put on you? Did you feel... I mean, I know there's the hard work of it, but did you feel like... I mean, did you feel like, hey, they actually expect something kind of great from us? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of... Was that dignifying? Was that kind of encouraging?
There were originally 4 people doing this. One of them, Kenny, he was too busy. He has so much going on. But I believe the 3 of you guys are the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in the class, right? Far as GPA. Mm-hmm. And then there's me.
So you got Taylor. She's got a 4.9. You got Brenda. She's 4.92. And there's Micah.
Yeah. And we can leave that unknown for now. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that Pagel really saw something in me because... I didn't think that I was capable of this, and I stuck it out, and it paid off quite a bit.
Yeah. I think oftentimes we have such low expectations for high school students in the church, and this is an example where the expectations were huge, and the requirements were huge, and yet you guys stepped up to it. So you got roped into this, you had all this preparation, expectations for you were high, but you stepped up to it. Now, in this last week or so, were you Were you nervous for this debate? Yes. Were you scared?
Terrified.
Terrified.
For the past, I think, like, week or last 2 weeks, Mr. Pagel, Bible teacher, would kind of every night at any given hour just, like, send us, like, little mini, like, more moral things to respond to or, like, questions to answer, like.
So like he's like texting you.
Yeah, exactly. He was texting
here's an objection.
Random objections. Like respond.
Here's the Euthyphro dilemma.
Yeah.
Respond.
Yeah. Like how'd you respond to this?
Okay.
And he'd be like, "Good job," or like, "Here's how you could say it better." Or, like, or here's what Taylor said.
So he's coaching you all the way through this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he would do this thing like 7 days until your debate.
Yeah.
6 days.
He would come up to us like.
Incredibly unhelpful.
Yeah. Countdown.
Even up to the last few days, it was like 48 hours, 24 hours, 7 hours, 30 minutes.
1 hour. It was very unsettling.
So you guys were, needless to say, you were a little bit nervous. Yeah. A little bit terrified.
A little bit terrified.
Yeah, a little bit terrified. okay, but you didn't back out. And so then it was the... We got up here on Wednesday, and then Thursday night was the panel discussion. Yep. So it wasn't a formal debate like on the campus, but it was. We invited these three atheist guys to come in. They're guys we worked with before, and a couple of them are older gentlemen, and then there was one UC Berkeley student. All three atheists, and they gave their views on this issue of morality on an atheist view. So we got to that night. Right before, were you still terrified? Or when they walked in, were you?
That was when it hit the worst, I think.
Okay, so
I was a little bit more tranquil at that point.
Okay, at that point it was like...
I think at that point it was kind of like, well, there's no backing out now, so why even worry about it?
Okay, but, so you mellowed out a little bit.
Yeah, so...
Although, when you introduced yourself to one of the atheists, Mike, it was a little awkward there.
So...
You met your opponent face-to-face, and what happened?
So Mr. Pagel told me, because I was walking around, like, you know, pacing in, like, circles, like, all right, this is happening. And Pagel comes up to me and he says, go talk to them, like, it'll calm your nerves, I swear. I was like, okay. And I'm very introverted. I'm pretty shy and awkward a lot of the time. So I walk up to Alex, the younger one, and I say, hey, how you doing? He's like, I'm great. How are you? And I was like, I'm good. How are you? And he looks at me kind of like turns his head a little bit. He's like, I'm good. So
your nerves are going. The adrenaline's pumping. How are you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Yeah, okay. Understandable. All right, so we're in the room, and there's about 40 of your peers who are sitting there watching, the students that came up here. We had a large group that came up with us. So about 40 of your peers, and then, you know, another, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 leaders watching. And we put you up front, you three at one table, the three atheists at another table, kind of facing off. And I kind of moderated that, and we got into it. And... So as we jumped into it, what was going on in your mind? How were you feeling?
Well, like right before the debate, I was almost in tears because of how nervous I was. Uh-huh. And I was just like freaking out. But once we sat down and actually started, like once the debate actually started going, I felt a lot more calm because once they gave their, I think we gave our views first, like our basic summary, and then they gave their views. And I realized that with all the preparation we had done with like how much studying I had done into the moral argument and how much pretty much I kind of immersed myself in it. I realized like I knew what I was talking about and I knew what to say.
Yeah.
So once like that realization like really sunk in, I was like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just felt kind of God just calm me down. And as I was writing down what they were saying, I was like, okay, I was able to be like, okay, here's what I can say. Here's this, and this. Like, I'm good. I got this.
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting because you get into it. You hear their kind of opening statements. We gave you guys, both groups, a chance to kind of give opening statements. You heard their opening statements, and kind of that the unknown disappears, and now it's the known. They put their views out on the table, and you're like, yeah, okay, this is what we've been studying for. We've heard these things before. We've prepared for these things, and so now we're ready. And so... Brenda, you seem to indicate that then kind of calmed you down and gave you confidence. Like, okay, yeah, we know this. We know this stuff. Yeah.
Pat, one of the gentlemen on the other side of this debate or discussion, he was saying at the beginning, like, the first thing you said was, well, we're atheists, and that means lack of belief, so we could really believe anything. So don't expect that we all agree on everything. And I thought that was something that leading up to it was constantly on my mind, because we had prepared for several different interpretations of morality from an atheist standpoint, and it could have been any one of them. So I was really hoping that they would have been like one of those, evolution determines morality thing, because that one I was like super prepared on, and they're like,
yeah,
nope, everything's subjective. And I was like,
Yeah. So that was when basically they came out and said, morality is not objective.
Right.
It's subjective. Although we saw that they seemed to waffle on that a little bit, right? Yeah. At least that was, I think, your view, my view of their position.
Sure.
So they came out, argued that morality was subjective. Now, had you prepared for that?
Yes. We prepared for a couple of different rounds on that. And, you know, we were always taught, though, like, even though morality being subjective can lead to a lot of different crazy ideas, most people probably don't, you know, follow through with that idea all the way.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't affirm that you can do anything you want and that would be considered morally acceptable. So, we can't.
They're often selective. They're often selective relativists. Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll often try and, like, kind of sneak in ideas from objectivism. And so it would be our job to point those out and, show where they actually adopt another point of view. And so we practice that.
Yeah. Now, and so did you feel that the atheists did try to sneak in, just kind of borrow objective morality and kind of smuggle it into the conversation? What did they say?
They said that for the things that were objective with regards to morality, it was determined by... Well, at least Alex. I don't remember for sure what the other one said, but Alex said that physics and biology and all these kinds of things determined the parts of morality that are objective.
Okay, so he was grounding it in kind of physics,
mm-hmm.
and evolution. But did you find that they said, like, morality is subjective, but then seemed to affirm something that was objective? Did they give any? I mean, were there any specific things they affirmed as objective?
I distinctly recall we had a conversation about, or part of our conversation was about pre-Civil War, like, era United States and the issue of slavery, and they had said earlier that they believed morality was not entirely, but mostly determined by what the culture decides is right, which is a subjective view by culture, and so we gave the obvious, like, counterexample of slavery, and, you know, naturally they didn't agree that it was right, but they didn't know how to deny that. So then they tried to borrow other things, and they said, well, it's not just determined by what culture, or by what cultures say. You know, there's another factor in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, so then we had to, you know, then we had kind of shown that it's not entirely subjective, at least not in their own viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's hard to resist reality. It just seems that it's self-evident that there are these objective moral truths, and you can attempt to deny them, but they just seem to keep popping back up because that's the nature of reality. Okay, so so you guys, we had a long conversation, and I'll just say, as the moderator sitting there watching you guys, I was thoroughly impressed at the level of discussion that you were able to hold with these guys. Because one of the guys, Phil, he's a very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like Phil a lot. And he was able to, we started kind of getting philosophical. We were talking about the ontology of morals. We were talking about the idea of physical and non-physical things and kind of got into dualism. And you guys, it seemed like, were able to kind of hold your own in that. In fact, it seemed like you guys were able to hold your own, but some of the students in the audience who are watching, your friends, you could see some of their eyes glazing over as we're getting deep into this philosophical conversation. But as I looked at you guys, there was no deer in the headlights, kind of like, oh no, what are they talking about? We're caught off guard. You guys seemed... To be totally on top of this, did you feel at any point that you were caught off guard on any of this? I mean, was there anything they said that just was like out of the blue? You were like, oh my gosh, we don't know how to handle this?
Not that I was so severely underprepared for, but I think Alex brought up how we don't sometimes religious or Christians don't hold the Sabbath, you know, like on Sunday as we used to. And so I said, it wasn't really that important, but I said that it's misinterpreted sometimes. But then he said, oh, what about sacrificing animals? And it was something that I had actually brought up to Pagel before, and he explained to me, but, like, just remnants of that explanation were still left in my head, so I kind of, there was a lot of spewing coming out. It didn't all
you were kind of fumbling
together.
An answer, and you had some remnants of an answer you're trying to recall. Yeah, I think that was the one point, the one question that, you know, you seemed that you didn't have a solid answer. Now, of course, that wasn't kind of, I think, central to the main question of the grounding. I don't think it undermines the grounding, but it's a specific question. You could actually even kind of punt on that one and say, well, you know, what that really has to do with is biblical inerrancy, and I don't need that to ground morality. But you went ahead to try and give an explanation of that.
And I'm very prepared for that question next time.
And that's the great thing, is that you get caught like that where you don't have a good answer, and that was motivating for you, because right after the debate when we did our debrief, that was the first question you were asking. How do I answer this question? Because you realize you weren't prepared for that, and that's I think that's one of the takeaways from this. Well, I think a huge takeaway from that specific example, but then the whole thing is that one way to force growth in your life, because we're human beings and we're lazy by nature, and it's always easier to. Take the easy road. That's why they call it the easy road, I guess. So we tend toward laziness. So if you want to make yourself grow, you have to put yourself in increasingly difficult situations. And when you do that purposely, it forces growth. And here you were, someone who, a wise guide, a mentor like Mr. Pagel comes along, helps put you in that difficult situation. But you guys grew tremendously. And there are probably not many high schoolers in the nation that know the issue and the arguments surrounding God and the grounding of morality like you guys do. And I wish we would have recorded the event. Afterwards, I posted something on Facebook and someone said, did you record it? And I thought, oh my gosh, we should have recorded that. It would have been
great.
So we're gonna have to do it again.
What?
Stage the whole thing.
but clearly, if anyone who's in that room and saw your guys' performance, and it was fantastic. You were able to hang with the ideas, you were able to make strong arguments, you were able to respond to objections. In fact, I think it was Taylor that one of their objections was, well, if there are no sentient beings, objective morality doesn't even make sense. And so if there are no human beings, you wouldn't have objective morality, and so therefore it's subjective because you have to have sentient beings. And then you responded to that. Tell everyone what you said.
I just made the differentiation between sentient beings and human beings because on the Christian view, where morality is grounded in the nature of God, that objection doesn't really, I guess, hold water because God is a sentient being. So even if there were no human beings, there would still be God, who is sentient and also has goodness in his nature.
Yeah, and you asked them a clarification question. You asked them, what is a sentient being? What do you mean by that? And so they basically said, well, conscious being. And so, okay, well, if you're talking about conscious beings, well, even if you don't have conscious human beings, you have God, who is a conscious being. And so I thought it was just a great answer to that challenge, that objection, and really kind of then undermined their whole, a big portion of their argument. So I thought that was a good response. Okay, so looking back at the event, you're through it. Was there a big sense of relief?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't even begin to describe the level of excitement I felt once it was done.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like there was this giant weight lifted off my shoulders.
I think I got a little bit too relaxed before it was even over, because when the Q&A happened, I was like, okay, that's it for the face-to-face stuff. And then some of the questions from the Q&A led to, you know, probably like half hour, 45 minutes of more debating, so yeah. I had to kind of get back in the zone.
Yeah. Yeah, right after the, because the week leading up to it, I wasn't so much nervous for the survey we were taking throughout the day, because I felt like I was ready for that, but it was the debate that I was, or the panel that I was just so worried about and looking, like, not like, I guess, like, looking forward to, because that was, like, the big thing I had to prepare for. And especially, like, on the day of, it was just, like, a big cloud looming, especially with, like, different people being, like, 5 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't help when your classmates are giving you a countdown.
Yeah, I know. And once it was over, it was just, like, this big weight just kind of left over my shoulders, and I was able to kind of turn my attention to the rest of the trip, because it was just like the big event like is over, and everyone's telling you did well, so it's like you succeeded in that.
Yeah, the feedback was positive. Did you feel not that you did perfect, but did you feel just overall, do you feel good about your performance?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously they weren't gonna like convert to Christianity on the spot, but I definitely feel like, you know, we gave them something to think about, and
held your own.
Yeah, we held our own, and I think most importantly too is that we like were able to do it in a calm and kind way.
Yes,
and not in an angry and aggressive.
Yes, you guys were very calm. You were not defensive whatsoever. You were very civil, very gracious. You were model ambassadors, and they were too. They were, I mean, they were very good dialogue partners. It was a great conversation. Anyone who sat there and watched these atheists and these Christians have this intelligent, smart, gracious, civil conversation would be really impressed. And I think all of your classmates and your teachers were very impressed with what you guys did. So we wanted to share that with you, the audience out there, because I wanted you to just hear a little bit about how we raise the bar of expectations for young people, for these high school students, three seniors, who we said, hey, we think you're capable of doing this. If you put the work in, you can do this. We elevated our expectations for them, and these students stepped up. And Taylor and I, we had a little conversation about the low expectations that youth groups typically have for their students. But students like these guys here, like Micah and Brenda and Taylor, some of our best and brightest in the church, and they need to be challenged. They want to be challenged. They want us to challenge them, have high expectations for them, help coach them along, help them in this process. And at the end of it, would any of you say that you regret doing this?
No.
Yeah, you're glad it was difficult, but you're glad you did it. Yes. You would probably have regretted it had you not done it. Mm-hmm. And you grew a ton, and I think it's just tremendous. What you did, I mean, we all got to see the growth in your life, and very proud of you guys. And so I just want to encourage you guys out there, for those of you who are parents, for the youth pastors and youth leaders, for Christian educators, for those who are teaching junior high school at a Christian school, even elementary, raise the bar for young people, and don't apologize for it, because these young people are capable of so much more than we typically expect from them. And so raise that bar of expectations, and they'll step up, just like these three did. So very proud of you guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing how God uses you guys in the future. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, how are you doing? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.